You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Mohamed Majoub came to Canada to flee political persecution and human rights violations in his native Egypt. Having been subject to arbitrary imprisonment as well as torture, he was eventually accepted as a refugee in 1996. He settled in Toronto, got married, and had two children. Then, in June 2000, Majoub was arrested on a security certificate. Although no charges have ever been brought against him, and he has never been given a fair trial, he has remained in detention ever since. As of June this year, Mr. Majoub has been on a hunger strike. The hunger strike continued into November until he was finally hospitalized. Dr. Janet Cleveland is a psychologist and research associate at the McGill University Chair in Public International Law, and she joins me by phone from Montreal. Good morning, Janet, and welcome to Red Eye.
Hello.
In 2000, Mohamed Majoub was arrested. What was the basis for his arrest?
Well, the problem is that we don't really know because the greater part of the evidence or the information against persons held under security certificates remains a secret. That is to say, it's revealed to the judge who presides over a sort of a general review process, but it is never revealed to the person involved nor to that person's lawyer. As you mentioned, Mr. Majoub, like other people held under security certificates, has never been charged. So it's extremely difficult to defend yourself against something when you're never clearly charged and you don't know most of the information that is against you. And a lot of the information is based on, sometimes has been obtained by torture. It's essentially information that is presented by CSIS, Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, often obtained from other intelligence services overseas from their informants. It's very much hearsay, second or third or fourth degree hearsay.
What kind of proceeding or trial, I hate to call it a trial, but what kind of process so far has taken place to determine his situation?
Well, basically what happens, a security certificate is part of the immigration law, and it's important to understand that this has been in Canadian law since the 1970s. It's not something that's new, and it can be used against non-citizens in general who are suspected of what the law says is that they have presented, might pose actually at the moment, or will pose in the future a danger to the security of Canada. These are people who are profiled, who are believed by CSIS to present some kind of a risk. And because they're not yet citizens of Canada, they're in Canada legally, they're refugees, permanent residents, whatever, but they're not yet citizens, therefore they're threatened with deportation to their country of origin, despite the fact that they would be at risk of torture, at risk of execution, or so on. And the only thing that the government has to do is to prove that there is some reasonable basis to suspect them, and this has to be reviewed periodically before a judge. But as I said earlier, most of the evidence remains secret. The person and their lawyer are never informed of the actual evidence, so it's extremely hard to defend yourself against that.
And so the judge reviews in secret, so then the reasons that they might make a decision are also unknown.
The reasons are given publicly, but again, they'll be referring often to information that has been presented in closed hearings where the person is not present, their lawyer is not present.
Well, Mr. Majoub has been in prison for an extraordinary length of time in Canada. He's been on a hunger strike twice, I understand, once in 2005, now again this year. What have there been some specific circumstances that have caused him to take this extreme action?
Well, I mean, I think that there are a whole series of what might be seen as minor irritants, but they're day after day sort of minor harassment from prison guards and so on. But I think underlying it really is the fact that it's been now 9.5 years that he's been detained without charge based on secret evidence. This last hunger strike is an extraordinarily severe one. He was drinking only orange juice and water for 6 months. I don't know if you can sort of imagine what that is like. I find it hard to imagine myself, but it's very, very extreme. His life is in danger. He's now off the strike for the moment, but although the federal court has ordered him to be released on house arrest, that's just very recently, he's still back in prison for the moment because he now has to raise bail and also meet a series of other conditions for his house arrest. So there's still a risk that he might go back on hunger strike. We're quite concerned about that because he's still in the same really quite intolerable circumstances that he has been for many, many years.
He was released in 2007 as well on house arrest. That could mean all kinds of things. I would like you to detail what was his house arrest condition.
Well, the house arrest, and unfortunately it's going to be quite similar again this time, but in the first time he was released, it was he has a wife and two children. So he was at home. He has a GPS tracking bracelet, 24/7. In addition, they have security cameras in the house, in the different rooms of the house. All his phone calls, of course, are monitored. There's physical surveillance that say that any time he sets foot outside the house, there's CSIS agents, or CBSA agents, rather, that follow him everywhere. He's only allowed to go out of the house with his wife in that case, and his wife also had to be there during the evenings and on the weekends with him at all times. Couldn't leave him alone for a moment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, all this to say is that really quite intolerable conditions, and he eventually asked to go back into prison because he said, look, it just means that my wife and my two sons are in prison with me, in fact. So I just assume he'll be back in prison. At least they'll be free. What he's now done is finally he's been able to obtain a house arrest on his own so that he will be in his own apartment, except that all the other conditions will still apply. So it's going to be, it's extremely, extremely stringent conditions.
Is he in solitary right now?
Yes, he's in solitary confinement because actually he's in the Kingston Immigration Holding Center, so-called Guantanamo North, and it's only for people held under security certificates, and he's the last one left, so he's by that fact, he's in solitary confinement. Mind you, before that, he had been many years in solitary confinement at various periods as well. So,
with regard to the security certificates, which are the rationale or the instrument, I guess, for his lengthy imprisonment and abuse, are we likely to see any changes in this area? Is there any movement to eliminate these documents, this process?
Well, I mean, they were actually struck down in 2007 by the Supreme Court of Canada as being unconstitutional because contrary to the Charter of Rights, the right to a fair trial, which is available even to people who are not citizens. If you're simply resident in Canada, you're still supposed to have the right to a fair trial. However, unfortunately, the Supreme Court allowed the government to adopt a new law, which is pretty much identical. They added one small provision for it to name a so-called special advocate, who's a lawyer who is supposed to represent the person's interests, except they can't actually communicate with the person. They can look at the secret evidence and try to challenge it on the behalf of the person, but that's about all they can do. I think that the government will actually probably turn away from using security certificates because it's been so broadly criticized by so many human rights groups and lawyers groups and so on. However, they have other means at their disposal which are fairly similar. I think one way or another, they unfortunately will probably use similar means to try to deport people who are non-citizens if they have any, suspicions or allegations against them, even if they're very, very weak or very unfounded.
Well, thank you for speaking with us this morning, Janet, about the clearly medieval pre-Magna Carta process we're being subjected to.
Right here in Canada. A lot of people don't realize it, but yes.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Dr. Janet Cleveland is a psychologist and research associate at the McGill University, chair in public international law. And if you'd like to know more about Mohamed Majoub's case and security certificates, you can go to the website at peoplescommission.org.